You're tuned to 106.1 FM WSCALP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for the technical difficulty there on the music. I was trying to give you a little bit of an indicator of where we're going tonight in terms of the music and my guests tonight, but I guess it's going to have to wait for just a minute until we can solve this little teeny CD player problem. Anyways, you're listening to Local Folk here on WSCA 106.1 FM. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I'm here to bring to you the people that really are making folk culture happen around here in New Hampshire and beyond. I bring in people that are just beginning. I bring in people that are, you know, retired musicians, and I bring in people who are actively pursuing music. And in this case, I have two professional musicians with me today, and they are a father and son duo. I'm looking forward to chatting with them and listening to them and hearing their stories. But before I do that, I really need to tell you what the computer says the weather is going to be. All right, well, we'll get to the musical calendar that's going to be happening soon, but I really would like to get to my guests. This has been just a chaotic week for me, so I'm looking to kick back and relax with a little bit of music and a family, or two parts of a family anyway, that are playing music. I just want to, these are the Fiddling Thompsons that I have on my show today, and the dad is Ryan Thompson, and the son is Brennish Thompson, and Ryan Thompson, he's a music and dance professional, and he's been honored by inclusion on both the traditional and touring artist rosters of the New Hampshire State Council on the Arts. And he's also a past winner of the Northeast Regional Award at the National Fiddle Contest. He's a multi-instrumentalist. Actually, both of them are multi-instrumentalists. He has a pretty unique thing that happened to him that I'm going to ask him about and let him tell you about, which has to do with his fiddling and something that he ran into, a kind of an issue that he ran into, and how he overcame it, which I think is really fun, and also how him and his son got to play, start playing music together. Not just start playing music, but play music together professionally. All right, enough of me. Fiddling Thompsons, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome, Steve.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing terrific tonight. I've had just like the craziest time. I've had like the craziest week, and you know, I felt like I was in a little bit of a rush. I don't know if you guys experienced anything like that earlier today.
I feel like I'm in a rush all the time.
Oh yeah.
Hey, that's how you know you're living, right?
Yeah.
So the two of you, we tried to put on some Zydeco music a little while ago, and I just wanted to ask you a little bit about that. The first song that we played, we couldn't quite listen to the whole thing. It was kind of a Zydeco jam, but are you guys a Zydeco band, or was this something that you did a long time ago? Or
one of our things is playing in the Crawdad Wranglers. I'm the leader of the Crawdad Wranglers, and Brennish has been playing fiddle at some of our later gigs that we've done.
Fiddle, percussion, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, this is the thing. I just, you're called the Fiddling Thompsons, or the you know, but really, I'm almost looking at it like there's a double entendre there or something like that. Like, you play so many different things. It's not like you just play the fiddle or you guys just fiddle together. Tell me a little bit about that. What else do you play?
We've been, our duo kind of group has been playing every instrument we can possibly get our hands on. it's been kind of a staple of our whole shtick, and in our Zydeco band, for instance, I play fiddle, I play rub board and other percussion instruments. He plays fiddle, accordion, all sorts of stuff.
And so we have a lot of different things that we cover. We like just about anything that has violin music in it. So that covers the gamut from country, Cajun, Celtic. Both of us play classical music for fun. We just like violins, and then all the associated instruments and playing in different ensembles. And our latest thing, I guess, that we've been doing is international music from a lot of different places. We've been collecting tunes from different cultures.
Like Ireland?
For like Ireland and Indeed. Scotland and England and Germany and South America.
Strange
and Eastern
places,
European yeah. music and all kinds of things.
So mostly European music?
No, it's not mostly. It's like we sample from a lot of different traditions that use violins and fiddles.
Brian, how did you... Were you born with a fiddle in your hand or what?
I had this dream back when I was about my son's age. Brennish is 15, and probably I was a little younger than that. And I dreamed that I was playing the fiddle. And I didn't understand the dream at all because at that point I had never even picked up a fiddle and even seen one. But I had this dream that I was playing one. And then later on in life, I got opportunities to try out fiddles, and then I got into playing it. And luckily, I came from a family that's very musical. Everyone in my family going back several generations, and there was a lot of music that was talked about and in my ears, and so it was just natural to start playing instruments. My parents were always bringing me interesting, unusual instruments from everywhere they traveled, and then Brennish grew up pretty much in this, you know, with music all around him also.
Yeah, I from an early age, I mean, I was 18 months old. My dad always used to practice near my crib, and he has a video of me picking up the instrument right out of his hands when I was about 18 months and playing it, playing some notes. So I couldn't quite play as well as I do now, but...
I mean, the instrument must have been as big as you.
Oh, yeah. My first actual instrument was a 3/32 size violin. It was about the size of my hand. Real small.
No kidding.
Yeah, he told me when he was two. He said, "Dad," I said, "I want to play the fiddle." And I said, "Well, that sounds great."
Been playing ever since.
So you were all for it. You were like, "Well, son, this is exactly what I always imagined." Is that what you thought?
Well, you know, I have a lot of friends that are couples, and they're trying, and they're very serious about music, and they're interested in getting their children into music.
Yes.
And I've seen a lot of times it doesn't work when if you're too pushy towards right. your kids. So I had thought about that for a long time, and I said, "Well, I'm not going to be pushy, but I'm going to show him that I'm having a lot of fun, and we'll see if it catches." That, and it looks like it did.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. I have a daughter at home. She's 2.5, and so I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to really make that work. So your plan was look like you're having fun, which you are, and
yep.
see what happens.
Absolutely.
It rubs off.
And it rubs off.
Yeah, so I think playing at the crib was a good move. I think that
yeah.
every once in a while when he was about 18 months, I used to play, and if I played too long, I could tell he wanted me to stop. He wanted me to pick him up and play with him. So what I'd do is just play an extra 10 seconds or so, and then I'd pick him up and play with him, and then I'd put him back in the crib, and then I'd play again.
What did you used to play for him? Can you play maybe like 10 seconds here? You have your fiddle in your hand. What kind of stuff did you used to play?
I think at that point I was, this was after my disability, and I was relearning how to play the violin again. So I was probably playing contra dance tunes and Celtic tunes.
Let's hear a little piece of that.
Things like that, jigs.
And so you were like, "Oh yeah, this is rocking stuff."
Yeah, and for most of my life now, most of the tunes that I've learned that we play together, he didn't teach me. I heard him play them so many times that our last few tunes, we just go up on stage, just, "How will we play this new tune? I've never played in my entire life," and I go and there it goes. It's just there.
We did a concert on Friday in Rochester. They have a concert series there on Fridays. And I said, "Hey, Brennan, you ready to play Purple Lilies?" And he's never played it, but he's listened to me practice it. And he's really fast at picking things up. And it's not that hard. So we did Purple Lilies.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys care to play a tune? I'm sensing a tune. I'm sensing a tune right now. I'm hoping you play something you can either play something that you play currently, or maybe something that you used to play a long time ago, like as you were learning to do this stuff together, or the first thing that you played together in concert, or any number of things I'd be interested to hear about.
Over the Waterfall, maybe?
Actually, the very first tune we played in concert was that Carrie Polka.
Oh, which...
Carrie Polka?
Egan's Polka. It's a Carrie from County Kerry.
No,
it's
I was just at the recording studio a little while ago, and I was singing the song The Wren and the Furs.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, "We'll play Carrie Polkas." So, all right. Please.
let's do the very first one, and then let's put on... actually, can I switch instruments?
Sure.
Okay, why don't you talk a little bit about the tunes and...
talk a little bit about the tune. I'm curious. How do you remember the name of these tunes?
Well, we have thousands of tunes, and it's I don't remember the names. That's his job. He starts playing. I go, "Oh, okay." But this specific tune is I've been playing it for years now, and like you said, that's probably the first tune I played. I think I played it at a camp called the Shokin.
Or no, is that the first place we played it?
I think it was.
Or was it at the out on Star Island?
It might have been.
We were hired to do an arts conference out on Star Island and teach people how to play folk instruments. So we brought a whole, that's a whole interesting story in itself, trying to bring six accordions and five fiddles and seven banjos. And
Oh, boy.
But anyway.
Seven banjos. They might have thought terrorists were on their way.
Seven?
And the accordions kept disappearing.
Yeah.
People kept offering to help us carry them, and then they would set them down in somewhere. And I, Brennish, count the accordions. We only have six. I know there's another one.
Yeah.
So anyway, now I changed instruments to the whistle because we usually play this together with tin whistle and fiddle. Although when we first played it together, we probably did twin fiddles. I'm not sure.
Well, that's anyway, okay. This is a variation. This is a variation, and this is the first song that you ever the first tune.
Yep.
Sorry,
first tunes that we played together. Yeah,
this is excellent.
So two and two.
Sure.
Cool. Listening to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth Community Radio. This is the program Local Folk, and I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and we are with the Fiddling Thompsons, who were just fiddling around with some music, except that one of them, Ryan, was playing the whistle. They are multi-instrumentalists. They're called the Fiddling Thompsons, but they're super multi-instrumentalists. They were telling us, they play washboards, they play fiddles. It's actually part of their act, and they were just playing for us the first song that they ever performed together in concert. Now, is this something, there was two Kerry Polkas there, correct?
Yeah, we added the Rattlin' Bog because I like the way that one sounds.
That's what I was going to say. I recognize one of them as the Rattlin' Bog.
Yeah.
Only because I know the word, the Rattlin' Bog.
Exactly.
Rattlin' Valley, oh, okay,
yeah.
So.
The instrumental version, it's a little different on the B part than it is in the song. The song has that thing where it keeps extending and adding more parts of the tree.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, yeah, that's hard to play. I like it as a tune just perfectly well. Is that something that you learned a long time ago? Was that one of the first ones that you remember? Or
we that little set there, we've been playing for years now. I'm not even sure when we kind of put it two and two together, but it's been a long-running set.
5 or 6 years probably we've been playing that set.
So So 5 or 6 years ago was the first time that you started playing together as two fiddles, so the father and son?
We probably started when Brennish was seven, so he's 15, so about 8 years we've been playing together.
Yeah. Okay, so from 2 to 7 you were just learning.
Yeah, that's when I was kind of learning the ropes.
So did you say this fiddle that you had when you were a little kid starting to learn, it was really literally the size of your hand
It was pretty small. The 3/32nd, if you look at a normal violin, it's about as long as the fingerboard. It's of a normal size violin. It was real small.
I mean, that's like tiny. Yeah, that is very tiny. I mean, and so you were able to do something with it anyways. I mean, could you tune it? Was it tunable? Was it a real instrument?
It was a real instrument.
Yeah, you could play tunes on it.
Yeah, and there are sometimes the smaller ones that are being more expensive than the larger one because they have to miniaturize everything. And I used to actually bring one of the small ones to a music festival we used to go to called NEFA. And I would bring it there and play it at the booth for fun, even after I'd already learned how to play a larger instrument.
So you guys perform at NEFA?
Yeah, we've been going to NEFA for a long time. We always run a booth there, the Captain Fiddle booth.
Oh, okay.
And then sometimes we play with different groups and things. It depends.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just, I had somebody on the program months and months ago, right before NEFA, who gave me an overview of NEFA.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you guys have a Captain Fiddle booth. Is that for CDs and stuff like that?
Yeah, or? And I write a lot of musical instruction books and produce music instruction videos. And
oh, you do?
Yep.
Okay, see, I'm sorry, I didn't do as much research as I wanted. Please tell me about that, though. You publish books, you're a teacher, you're a multi-instrument, you taught your son, and now you guys perform together. But so you're really a teacher, then?
Well, most of my income is still coming from performing.
Okay.
But what's quickly catching up to that is the teaching. So, and Brennishan actually has been teaching for a couple of years now, too. He's been helping me in classes. I've been teaching fiddling classes at Kittery Adult Ed for probably a dozen years, and I taught a couple contra dance band courses there and music theory and different things, and Brennish has been coming along to those classes mm-hmm. ever since before he could play. He'd bring his Legos and hang out, so he's gotten good at helping people. He's been teaching kids how to play fiddle tunes for the last couple of years.
Yeah, over the summer, we were out in California and Washington teaching at festivals for most of the summer. And I did private lessons for teenagers my age and people in general.
So I also teach over at Phillips Exeter Academy. I'm one of the resident folk music teachers over there. I'll be starting next week. I've got a great crop of fiddle students, banjo, accordion, tin whistle.
Washboard?
Washboard if they ask for it.
What are some of the other more unique instruments that you play?
Well, Brennish plays the wooden spoons.
Yeah, I play a pair of Canadian wooden spoons, which has been doing that. That was actually one of my very first instruments that I ever played on stage. One of my very first videos, actually, of me playing was up is on our YouTube channel. Four String Joe is the YouTube channel, but it's me playing it at age 7 or 8.
At a contra dance over in Deerfield.
Now, that's the right. Canadian spoons, are those different than regular spoons there?
Well, they're wooden. They're not, and they're connected. They're all just one piece of wood, hand-carved, and they just have a little bit better tone than your old metal spoons.
Okay, so it's probably a rounder sound because they're made out of wood. I've seen these connected wooden spoons before, mm-hmm. and those are called Canadian spoons?
They can come from anywhere, but they're normally from Quebec.
They're titled Canadian, but although you could probably get them from anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Probably made in China, some of them, huh? You can't get the cheap made in China. You got to get the real Canadian ones.
I've never seen ones made in China, but I'm sure if they could sell enough of them, they would start manufacturing them.
I'll bet they could. Hey, I want to play, the two of you have a CD out. It's called Music for Both Hands, and Ryan, I do want to, had or have a disability right now?
I have a disability. I have a permanent disability called focal dystonia.
Focal dystonia?
Yeah, and it has to do with focal means it's a certain portion of my body. Dystonia means dystone. In other words, certain muscle groups don't function properly.
Okay, I want to talk about that in a minute, but does this Music for Both Hands has something to do with that?
Well, if on the cover there, it shows that the Brennish is playing right-handed and I'm playing left-handed.
Okay.
So it's a little play on the idea that we're playing with both hands, but we're both doing opposite things with our hands.
And this CD is unbelievable in terms of being all over the map in terms of where things came from. You know,
mm-hmm.
it really should. Scottish, French, Irish, Hungarian, Swedish, United States, Irish, English, USA, Canadian, Irish, French, Cajun, Scottish, Tex-Mex, Polka, USA, German, French, Cajun, and USA. Wow. And that's like all over the place, really.
And that's sort of like where we've been heading the last couple of years. We're going to be working on our second CD pretty soon. It's going to have a whole assortment of different countries and different things, and some of the same countries again.
I would like to play a tune from here. A tune. What would be your preference to share with the world here on Local Folk? I mean, there's such a huge variety, it looks like, here, but I'd love to share something with you.
Well, Brennan's just agreed. I was just looking over at him. One of our favorite tunes is the Hungarian tune, the Gypsy tune.
The Friss.
Friss Kardis.
Ah, so you say it better than me. All right.
And better than me also.
It sounds very gypsy when you say it, actually. All right, here we go. This is a gypsy tune, Friss Kardis, right here on Local Folk, and we will be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to 106.1 FM, WSEA, LP Portsmouth. This is Portsmouth Community Radio. You're listening to Local Folk, and I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I have the Fiddling Thompsons with me today, and we've just been chatting about all sorts of things. They have a CD out right now. Ryan, the elder Thompson, is a teacher extraordinaire. He's also an author. He writes books about it. He's also listed on the New Hampshire, he's one of the people. What is this?
The touring roster and also the traditional folk roster.
The traditional folk roster as well. He works over at Phillips Exeter as their folk instructor, and he certainly knows about a big pile of instruments that he plays, I will say that, including spoons and washboards and things that you don't think of as instruments, and also the fiddle. But you have a disability that you called, what is the official name of it?
Focal dystonia.
Okay, and then somebody tells me earlier today, I mentioned your name to folky friends that I have earlier, and they said, he's unbelievable because he had this problem where he couldn't fiddle, and he couldn't play fiddle, so he just switched hands and played it. He plays it backwards now. I said, so he moves the fiddle?
Mm-hmm.
He holds the, but now he has to hold the bow and move the fiddle over it.
So now I bow with my left arm instead of my right arm.
Okay, so now you bow with your left, so you're like Hendrix now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, something like, do you string it backwards or anything like that?
It's strung backwards.
Okay, so it is strung backwards.
This is actually the violin I just I haven't played it yet here, but I have it sitting on the table in front of me, is my old right-handed violin that I had converted to left-handed.
That you have converted. What is, So tell me about this thing that happened. Why is it that you can? Is it the what is it that made it so that you can play left-handed but you couldn't play right-handed? Because don't you have to use both hands and both arms and everything?
Luckily, my particular focal dystonia has to do with muscles in my shoulder blades. And my right arm is no longer stabilized with the muscles that are supposed to hold your shoulder stable when you exert energy.
Okay.
So my right arm flops around a little bit. I can do certain things really well. I can throw a baseball. I can hit a nail.
Yeah.
I have trouble bowling. I have a little trouble brushing my teeth. But I can use a fork and I can eat. There's just certain things that I can do. And luckily, I can play the banjo and play the piano and the accordion and the flute and all the other instruments.
Do you have to play the banjo, Lefty?
No, that's what I mean. I can play those right-handed.
You can play those all right-handed.
Yeah. Banjo took me about 4 years to figure out how to do it. I have to, when I play the banjo, I have to simultaneously hold my shoulder very tight against my body and then have my right hand very, very relaxed at the same time. And that took like 2 or 3 years to learn how to do that.
Some people would have just dropped it, though. I mean, when this happened, were you crushed or were you like, well, I'm going to figure out how to deal with this? I mean, what happened?
Well, I was making my living playing,
yeah,
and so there was a huge drop in income. I was doing a lot of studio work, and for a while I kept getting gigs even though I was telling people that I couldn't play. And so I did this thing for about a year where somebody would hire me to play fiddle at their wedding, and what I would do is hire a fiddler, and then I would come and play banjo or play flute or play piano or play something else. And so they were still getting me, and I would sort of, and then after a while, after about 4 years, I was finally diagnosed, and then I said, I'm going to start playing over again. I'm going to fiddle no matter what.
Yeah.
And just got a left-handed violin, started scratching away. I said, I'm going to do it.
That's excellent.
And so luckily, I brought in this, we can't see it on the radio, but this journal, it's from the Dystonia Medical Research Foundation. And a couple months ago, actually about 3 months ago now, they invited Brennish and I down to New York City to do a special concert. And in particularly, they invited people that had overcome focal dystonia. So besides myself, they invited a famous jazz guitar player who has overcome it and a famous classical guitarist. And we did a concert together, all the three of us, down in New York City, because we were all examples of people who have, in one way or the other, overcome our disabilities through a lot of hard work and
perseverance.
Yeah.
Perseverance, yeah. I mean, it must have been very, I mean, you said you started scratching away. That's what it felt like when you first started.
Well, yeah, it was really difficult. And actually, I was, in the early years, I was ashamed, I think, because I couldn't play. I didn't feel like I had a disability in the sense of someone that was in a wheelchair, because I could walk and I could drive a car, but I could no longer do the thing that I had the greatest passion for in life, which is to play my violin.
Give me a break if that's...
So, yeah, it was crushing, you know, and then I gave myself the six-month plan first. I said, okay, I'm going to see what I can do on a left-hand violin in 6 months. At the end of 6 months, I was just gave myself a barely passing score, and then I started again. So I hadn't been playing very long when Brennish started playing the violin, when he got interested. I was still learning how to play violin, and so my big goal was, okay, he's into it. He really wants to play. I'm going to have to relearn how to play left-handed so I can stay far enough ahead of him that he can be learning the tunes.
Far enough ahead. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Were you sort of learning together?
Excuse me, I'm going to cough for a second.
Hey, that's why they have the cough button. We have this great cough button over here. You know, you can press that and then you're allowed to cough. And
So what I did, well, I mean, I was at the point where I could play tunes in tune and almost up to tempo. And, you know, being a trained musician, I was able to make it sound like music. And so a lot of the tunes that he learned, he was able to hear them in time and hear them in tune, hear all the notes. And I can do a whole lot more now.
Now, Brennish, did you know that your dad was struggling with this, that he was dealing with this?
I didn't know for quite a while.
Yeah.
Caught up to me when he were, actually, first things were, where I would see he was doing normal things, non-instrumental things, and he'd have a little bit of trouble with his arm. And then he eventually told me, and... also, right after he got that, when I was about maybe 8 or 9 or so, he had a skateboarding accident, and he couldn't play for another almost.
Wait, you had a skateboarding accident, Ryan?
Yeah.
I'm an avid skateboarder, you know, from way back, you know. And, yeah.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah, so he was riding his bike as fast as he could at that point, and I was riding my skateboard as fast as I could, chasing him. And
hit a rock.
Yeah, I've got an old-fashioned board. It's not like the modern board. It's a clay wheel board.
A clay wheel board. I don't even know
what they
that
had
is.
In the early 70s, late 60s. And so they're not forgiving at all when you hit a pebble. That just stops them dead. And I went flying. And then we had a Crawdad Wranglers gig the next the day after that.
Yeah.
And the only thing my right hand, this is after I was even playing left hand, my only thing my right hand would do was my fingers would close. I mean, I couldn't even shift. I couldn't shift my truck, but my fingers would close, and so I could play just enough notes on the violin to get by. And I played a lot of accordion that gig, and then I had the lead guitar player do a lot of songs. But we got through, and then I just kept getting better.
And pulling ahead,
yeah. And I should say this too. As of the last 5 or 6 years, I learned an awful lot from the way Brenish plays because. He does. It's not a mirror. It's not like he hears me play a tune and then he copies the notes and the bowing. He gets it and the essence of the tune, and then he customizes it in the way that he I don't know how he chooses the way he customizes tunes, but he does his own thing. So I learned like a couple, 2 or 3 years ago that we watch when I do YouTube videos. I watch him playing because I learn things from watching his bowing and his fingerings.
So tell me about this customization because you know I mean people is it about taking the tune and making it your own? Is it through the lilt or is it something that you're changing in the? Tell me about
it's
that.
Kind of a mixture. Mixture of all of that. I think I've gotten a lot of it from playing in our various bands and just jamming with other, great musicians. I kind of pick up things from that and I, improvise it off of it myself and just kind of blend it all together. So
just improvise it and blend it all together. Yeah. So, if, for example, though, is it you're looking at somebody's fingers and you're like, wait a minute, their fingers are kind of moving differently than
it's
mine
more of
do.
hearing a tune and hearing a little thing. He's doing something different in that tune than I would do. Oh, well, I'll try it. And I just kind of eventually get enough of that stuff together, and then you have a kind of an original setup. So,
well, it's kind of. I mean, with so many different influences, I mean. This CD that you did has so many different influences on it that it's almost like you just have this love for all this music and not just Hungarian or Irish or something like that. So I mean there must be big differences among all of those. Do you ever speaking of all and then focusing down into just one specific teeny tiny genre in terms of the entire world? Did you help to start the Barley House session?
Yeah, I actually started it.
You actually started it?
Yeah, okay. I had a partner, and we wrote up a proposal and brought it to the owners there about the idea of starting a session. We were trying to find some sort of – we wanted to start a session that would be friendly to people from all levels, and it would provide an opportunity for people that were experienced to come in and play their favorite tunes and also for people that were learning. And then we also wanted to have some way to provide a little compensation to the people that were organizing and running it. And at the same time, encourage, have a way to provide a reduced fee for some of the food and the beverage there. And that also encourages people to come and play. So we kind of put a whole proposal together. It was a long drive for me. So even though I started it and put it together, I wasn't able to continue going because it's in Concord, so that's a drive.
Yeah, no, I mean it's a bit of a drive. I went there, but I'm just surprised because when I went there, it was purely strictly Irish, Irish tunes or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So was that? I mean, was that? So that's where you go to do the Irish tunes, I guess, basically.
Well,
at this point,
Brenish and I love Irish music. We have a very large repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play piano for Cultus down in Boston for the Sunday set dancing down there. I did that for years, and so I have a lot of the tunes in my head. Brenish likes Irish music also.
I know I picked up a lot of my Irish music just from hanging out at the Cayleys, and I would, when I was real little, I used to just sit and fall asleep listening to the bagpipes and all that. I don't know how I did it, but. Yeah. Picked up a lot of music from
that.
You
mean you fell asleep listening to bagpipes?
I would put out two chairs, put a blanket, and fall asleep next to the stage.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I actually ran a session over in Dover. Mike Murphy wanted a session over at his pub in at Biddy Mulligan's. I ran that session for 7 years straight. It was every Thursday night.
Oh, really?
I think I missed one Thursday in 7 years, but I ran that session, and that was just straight Irish music.
Okay, that's super great. Okay, yeah. But, well, because it was an Irish pub, so is that the idea? So if it's an Irish pub, then you should do the Irish music or whatever?
Yeah, people would come in occasionally and play, you know, something else.
Yeah.
You know, but pretty much our focus was Irish.
Yeah. It's kind of... It's... There is a telephone call right now, but quite frankly, unless somebody knows how to work the telephone call system, which I do not know how to do, then we're going to have to take a message. We're going to have to take a message. I'm sorry. I even know who it is. It's our former, it's the DJ before me. Cousin Isaac has a question for us. I'm not sure exactly. Oh, okay. Well, maybe we could take the question off the air, and I will present it to you guys once we have it. I'm very good with that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's like the press room session. You can play like whatever you want, you know. But then we do something up in Fela where it's up in Wells where it's just Irish and it's kind of Irish. You know, it's kind of Irish songs. It's not even very much tunes or anything like that.
Yep. Yeah.
So it kind of goes all over the place. But so where do you get a chance to perform all of this wide variety of stuff? Like, where do you get a chance to do the Gypsy song?
Well, Gypsy song, the only place really is performances for that particular song, that one we just played. And one advantage of the CD is that we can put on multiple instruments that we play. When we play in person, we can only play two things at, you know, at the same time. I play the banjo and he plays the violin on that one, but I added piano on the CD because I thought it sounded nice to have those chords on it.
If there was a contrasting song, if there was a contrasting song, I would like to just play one more thing off of the CD, and then I want to just talk to you guys about, hey, where you're playing, what your website's all about, and, you know, these books and everything else. I need to give everybody the lowdown on what's going on. But I did want to, at the very least, play something that's sort of in contrast, perhaps, to this Gypsy song.
Well, maybe one of the Cajun tunes is the...
There's French Cajun, number 17, Lake Arthur Stomp.
Yeah, let's try that one. That's a contrast.
Rock and roll. Do you go down to New Orleans or any of those places to...
I've been down to New Orleans a couple times, and I studied with some really good musicians from down in that area. Spent time with them.
All right. Well, I'm with the Fiddling Thompsons, and we are playing music from their CD right now, and it is titled "Music for Both Hands." And they're playing righty, they're playing lefty, they're playing instruments galore, they're playing Hungarian music, and now they're also playing Cajun song. This is called Lake Arthur Cajun tune. This is called Lake Arthur Stomp, and we'll be right back here on Local Folk. Thank you. John, that was a tune by the Fiddling Thompsons. It was in contrast to their Hungarian tune that is off their CD, and this was a French-Cajun tune off their CD. It's called Lake Arthur Stomp. The CD is called Music for Both Hands.
So that's a tune I learned from Dewey Balfa, and this is one thing where I did a little of instruction with Brenish. I showed him how to do the low fiddle part for Cajun, because there's two fiddle parts. There's a low part. So he's playing the low part on that, and I'm playing the high part.
What else was in there, though? There was more than I heard. Was it a spoon?
Cajun triangle.
Cajun triangle.
Cajun triangle. Is that different than a normal triangle?
Very different, yeah. It's a special kind of an alloy. Alloy, so that it doesn't ring with a particular note. If you go to a music store and you buy a modern triangle and you put it up to a tuner, it's going to center around a note. And old alloys of steel, that where the steel's the high carbon, it's not quite as high carbon, I guess, or whatever, they have a kind of a white noise sound spectrum, so that you can play them in any key, if that makes sense.
It's like metallic fuzz?
Yeah, exactly. If you have a triangle that's centering on a particular note, it might sound out of key, out of tune in certain keys.
That's super cool.
There's a whole art. There's people that go down to down around Louisiana and down in Oklahoma places, and they go and they find old hay rakes. The triangles are actually made out of old hay rakes from the 30s, and modern steel is a better steel, and like I say, it has a tone. Anyway, we have one, but it's too far away to reach it right now.
No, that's okay. It's super cool. You know, you guys walked in with all kinds of instruments, and I was like, wow, what are we going to do? We're doing all kinds of things. Listen, if you want to know more about the Fiddling Thompsons or anything that we were talking about today, you can go to CaptainFiddle.com, CaptainFiddle.com. That'll get you started, and it seems like there's a lot of info on there, but tell me a little bit about the website and what's going on.
We're right on top of things on YouTube. I've got approximately 700 videos up on YouTube right now, and 200 or 300 of just Brenish and I. We document.
All archived.
Yeah, we try to. I think it's really important historically to document recordings and performances and things like that. So we tend to tape and record almost everything we do. And then things that I think look pretty good, and a lot of the stuff looks pretty good, we post them up on YouTube. Plus a lot of my old bands going back 25, 30 years, I put up there also. Last Chance String Band, which is old-time, straight old-time American music, and Cajun and Zydeco.
And that's four is in the number, String Joe on YouTube.
Yeah.
Four String Joe. Okay, so if we wanted to see these thousands of videos, we would go to Four String Joe.
That's my channel name.
Or search our names.
It's Four String Joe with the numeral 4 in it.
Okay, so it's number 4, String Joe, all together. So if you go to YouTube.com and you type in that, then you're going to get your channel, which has all of these videos on it. Okay, and so, hey, that's cool. Thousands?
Well, I've got about 700.
Well, 700's still a lot. I mean, how many hours do you think that is? Somebody could probably spend the entire day.
Yeah, there's actually a couple like full concerts on there and stuff like that, but usually it's just individual tunes. Like, again, you know, we just feel it's really important to document everything we do, because so much good music and music gets lost because no one ever records it.
Well, that is the truth. You know what else is nice? Inside the inside cover of your CD, there's these pictures, and it looks like the two of you, you know, one here in the crib and then growing up playing the fiddle. Is that, you know? Yeah, I can see in the crib with the bow, scraping it across the string. All right, as a parent, I'm getting a little sentimental now. I can't really look at that anymore. All right, so what are the gigs? What else is going on? What do you have for gigs that are coming up?
Well, I'll just backtrack a little bit. We were out in California teaching this summer, and then this past Friday, we were in Rochester, and then on Saturday we were at Hampton at the Tuck Museum. This is a gig that we've done before to benefit the Tuck Museum, and they have a pig roast. And then this weekend coming up, we're going to be down in Pennsylvania at the Furnace Brook State Park. And there's this folk gathering down there. It's like a music camp. It's a 3-day thing. And we'll be teaching, Brenish and I will be teaching Cajun fiddling. He'll be teaching the low part. I'll be teaching the high part and showing people how to put that together. I'm going to be teaching French-Canadian foot percussion. So it's something that you do with your feet to accompany your fiddling. It's popular up in Montreal and Quebec.
Is it similar? I mean, I've seen old-timey guys with tappy shoes on and...
Is that coming through on the mic?
Yeah, I can hear it. Give me an example here.
Is it's a way to accompany yourself in time while you're playing.
It's significantly more interesting than just tapping your foot, that's for sure.
Yeah, well,
it's almost like dancing in your seat.
It's accompaniment, you know, it's like you get two instruments for the price of one.
Yeah.
And then we're doing a workshop on how to jam, and we're doing that with a couple other musicians in Brennish, and then I'm doing a thing on swing fiddle.
How to jam, like how to improvise?
Yeah, it's like people that want to experience the sensation of sitting in a group of people and making music together. There'll be some people there that have never done that before, classically trained violinists, for example, that have never sat in a setting like at the press room or something and just played tunes together. There'll be some kids and teenagers, and we'll be giving people tips on how to play music socially and have fun at it.
Between the two of you, or maybe you both have two different answers, if somebody wanted to somehow get involved in fiddling or the music or any of this music at all, and they weren't, you know, they didn't come from a musical family or anything like that, and they're just starting to listen to this stuff right now and say, hey, this is interesting to me, do you have a place to begin? Seems that you have a lot going on. If you were to choose something for somebody, would you do? I mean, what would you say is a good first step?
You want to say first, Brian?
From my point of view, is you look around, for instance, the press room, there's a lot of really, really great influences there and a lot of sessions going on and performances. Just get in touch with your, you know, local musicians and hang around, and you'll find people pretty quick.
And I was going to add, we have the internet now. You know, we didn't have that when I was learning how to fiddle. In fact, there were hardly even any records. We had this network when I first started playing. We had people would go collect 78 records from old junk stores. We would record them. We had a reel-to-reel recorder. I was living with a bunch of musicians. As soon as we recorded the 78 record, it was like a chain letter. We'd mail them to another person who also had a tape recorder, and they would play the 78s, and they would record them. We had this whole network going before, you know, there weren't very many fiddle records that you could buy back then, like in the late 60s and stuff, so...
So just this resource that we have now, this, you know, 700 videos on YouTube, you could probably hear quite a few tunes.
Well, yeah, and just the whole YouTube in general. So you can punch in anything in the search there. Anyone that wants to learn anything, hear anything, any style of fiddle music or any style of almost anything there is, as you know. And I think that's a really big resource now. Like over at the Academy now, we've got a special room there that we can go right in and go to YouTube videos. One of my students will ask, well, I like to hear several different versions of a particular tune. We can go down to turn on the computer, go to YouTube, and listen to a dozen different versions of whatever and pick out the good things.
That's true.
Some of my banjo students are looking to play, Going to Boston?
Going to Boston Dropkick Murphy.
Yeah, so, yes. You know, okay. You know, I'd say at least once a term, so one of my students wants to learn that. Now, I've learned it, and then I forget it again because I don't play it very often. So we just go down, we take a look at the band playing it on YouTube, and then they say, okay, here's the fingering, you know, here's what we got to do to get it. And so it's just a tremendous resource. I think that's one of the first, a combination of going to YouTube and then going out and seeing live music.
And of course, if you want even more than that, there's always getting lessons, so it helps a lot.
Thanks for bringing
that
up.
Yeah, segue.
We teach all the instruments that we play. So we teach fiddle and banjo, accordion, tin whistle, Celtic flute. Brennish teaches the various percussion instruments. Yeah. I teach piano accompaniment. I have videos for a lot of these things, too. I produce videos, instruction videos on a lot of these instruments.
If you can't get down to Lee very often, you know, we have DVDs and CDs and all sorts of stuff.
DVDs and CDs. And is this all available on the Captain Fiddle?
Yeah, it's on my website.
Okay, captainfiddle.com. And you'll be able to find the CDs and the DVDs. But, I mean, you're right in Lee. You're pretty local. And another question for you guys. Do you guys normally play locally or do you travel all over? I mean, do you think the majority of your – are there a lot of gigs and opportunities around here for people, you think, locally?
Well, we were in Rochester and Hampton this past weekend, but we're going to be in Pennsylvania next week. We'll travel – we like traveling. We like driving. We like flying. So we were out in California doing gigs, you know, this summer. So the way folk music works in this area is, unless you're doing a pub where it's every week and you're going to be there, you wait till someone calls you on the phone and says, we'd like you to come play for our wedding, or we have a barn dance. We do a lot of barn dances, and someone calls us up and tells us the time and if it fits into our calendar. So we don't have anything regular. So it sort of depends on, you know, we'll go anywhere. We were down in Quincy a couple of weeks ago playing for an Irish wedding down there.
Oh, Quincy Mass?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yep.
Hey, we're running out of time. We actually have to go. I want to play one more tune from this CD. I want to also say thank you very much for coming on and sharing your stories and your information with me here and for my listeners here on Local Folk.
Would it be possible for us to play a live tune and then you can go out on that? Or do you want to go out on this?
We
hardly play. Or do you want to do that, Bryn? Just let him play the CD?
Just wrecked him in the CD.
Okay, that's okay then.
I'll tell you what. Well, you know what? We have 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So it's up to you.
Okay, let's play.
Want to play it?
Yeah, because we've been talking a lot. But
I know we've been I talk too much. That's
No. Yeah. I'm always guilty of that.
Okay. We're having fun though.
So why don't you hit it off, Bryn?
See you next week on Local Folk. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you then. Up next is Under the Radar.